Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Editor's Roundtable for the week ending June 25th, 2021. To talk about all this and more, we have VP of News Brad Olison, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, and special guest Jerry Kronenberg, Managing Editor of Investor Tactics. Let's kick things off with Kim, who's going to give us the big picture about what moved markets this week. Kim?
Well, it's definitely a good week for stocks, any way you look at it. All three indexes are looking comfortably for solid weekly gains, led by the Dow. We had worries last week about the reflation trade kind of ending after the Fed pulled in its rate high expectations to 2023. That was really short-lived. The cyclical stocks had a great start on Monday and have kept going. And I think what we've got here, at least in equities, is that we still got the path of least resistance is for equities to go higher. And, the market is still sitting on solid growth, hoping that inflation is transitory and the central bank's looking friendly. On that part, Powell came in and did another dovish performance, kind of eased some more worries. You got tons of Fed speakers, but I mean, even the most hawkish aren't really as hawkish as the market is, because the market has pulled in its rate expectations in the kind of mid 2022. So, things are looking good for on the central bank front for the market. There's a difference in the bond market, which has just been totally static this week. And, it doesn't seem to want to commit one way or another. We had, the hottest inflation core PCE inflation since 1992 today. It just didn't budge. I mean, that was kind of about within expectations, but still expect to see some reaction. So I think, the bond market's biding its time and stocks keep grinding higher.
Very good. Now let's move on to Brad, who's going to go through some of the week's winners and losers.
All right, so it's interesting. According to Goldman Sachs, I saw a note earlier that the second half of June is usually the worst performing two-week stretch of the year. And sure enough, that was irrelevant for our cases this week, as we, sure enough had the highs of the year in the S&P. But, there is some solace to take in that the best 2 week period of the year happens to be the first 2 weeks of July. So investors have some of that to look forward to. Or on the flip side, if they like to counteract that, they can look for July to be weak if they're trying to take a look at the flip side of Goldman's note. But as far as the who's contributing to a lot of the gains that we saw this week, as Kim alluded to, there was a lot of reopening positivity. There was some dovishness in the Fed. Stress tests for the banks also came in rather strong. But the reopening positivity happened to coincide with a couple bullish notes from Bank of America. They're looking for some of the best names to be like L Brands, Harley Davidson, Aramark. All of these are reopening names. UBS also was out with a note on channel checks in retail. Sure enough, that was confirmed by Nike's blowout earnings last night. So clearly a lot of cyclical and reopening optimism that we saw this week. Some of the biggest movers to go along with that, you were a little bit in the energy space. WTI crude, again, continued to set fresh year highs. So Occidental, Devon, Marathon Oil, all among the biggest winners there. As far as the cyclical names, you saw names like United Rentals and Wabtec up around 7%, and names that would benefit from the infrastructure deal like Deere and Martin Marietta also turned in a strong performance. I think what was interesting was that all of this came, at least as far as the US was concerned, against the backdrop of a worsening Delta variant in the coronavirus. Some of the major research outfits downgraded some of the European countries' growth outlooks as a result. However, there were some reports that the vaccines are turning in relatively strong resistance against this new variant, at least in the US. On the loser side, I guess just 2 weeks removed from the binary event to end all binary events, or whatever that line was, Biogen ended up being the biggest loser after leading the S&P 2 weeks ago. Some of the weakness can be attributed to a new development from Eli Lilly. They have a new Alzheimer's drug, I think, that was given breakthrough designation. So some competitive landscape there. And interestingly, despite Amazon's Prime Day this week, which, as one of our editors wrote earlier, it rarely does move the stock. In fact, it actually hurt the stock, and it was the only FANG name that was in the red this week, which I thought was rather interesting. And if you want to take a big look at the FANG the bigger FANG group includes Alibaba, Baidu, NVIDIA. All of those were to the upside, while Amazon was the only laggard. And as Kim said, the treasury market didn't really move anywhere, but there was this upward sloping trend in the 10-year yield, which put a damper on some of the yield-sensitive names like Entergy, Equinix, American Water, and Digital Realty, which were all heavily geared towards rates and REITs.
That's great. Let's move on to Jerry. Jerry, it was a busy week in IPO land.
Yes, absolutely. We had a really strong week in terms of filings. We had a really strong week in terms of results when companies go public. You can really see the boom, which is going at a record pace. Now, that says a lot of interesting things about where we are in the market and economic cycle. But the big news probably is that a Chinese company called Didi, which is called the Uber of China, they filed details for their IPO. It is going to probably be well north of $60 billion, maybe higher. One of the biggest IPOs of the year, depends how well it is received, should be well received. A number of companies actually went public, finished their IPOs. Confluent is a very popular software company, popped about 30% on opening, which took to about an $11 billion valuation. Full Truck Alliance did very well. A week ago today, Atai, the very widely anticipated company that is trying to legalize or do treatments for psilocybin and the likes, that did well. But the big winner is a company called Doximity, which if you know anyone in the healthcare industry will tell you, they really use all the time. It is essentially the LinkedIn for doctors and nurses and other medical professionals. They use it for networking, for jobs, for communicating in a secure way. That popped over 100% on its first day Thursday to a $9 billion plus valuation. It's down a little bit today, but that's still quite strong. It's showing just the absolute strength of the IPO market, which shows that we're very clearly in a very strong bull market right now.
Great. Thanks very much. Now let's move on to the segment of the show where the panelists will talk about their favorite Seeking Alpha, either news story or article that they saw this week. Kim, what do you have for us?
This story came out just today from our editor, Jason Aycock, really interesting in the streaming sector about the rules that Europe has about European content in streaming. It has to be about, there's to be at least 30% European content on the streaming platforms, and also other countries are making their own rules. So it's even tougher in France, where they're looking to do 60% European content. And that's really got Disney behind the eight ball among the major players. So they're nowhere near 30%. Apparently Netflix is under 30%. Amazon's over in some countries. But it's, you know, it's really putting pressure on these companies to figure out how to come up with a way to keep streaming while keeping in with these rules. And another thing, twist in the story, is that that now the EU is thinking about calling British content or UK content non-European, which would take out a big chunk of the advantages that Netflix has with like Downton Abbey and The Crown. And so that's a post-Brexit battle that's going to happen. And it's interesting because the definition is not EU content, it's European content. So basically there could be litigation on whether the UK is in Europe still anymore. So we'll see what happens there.
You can check in anytime you want, but you can never leave. Brad, what was your favorite story?
So I thought what really stood out to me was historic moves in shares of Fannie and Freddie shares, right? So we saw moves in the order of close to 30% drops in both of the respective government-owned enterprises or service enterprises, whatever you want to look at it, as the Supreme Court just delivered a 1-2 punch to potential investors in those shares. In a ruling, it was a little bit split. They found that the director of these GSEs could be fired effectively without reason by the president. And given the fact that Calabria is the current director, he was seen as very shareholder friendly, Trump appointee, who is still kind of a holdover from the old administration. He had always been trying to move the companies away from some of this government control and more towards the private markets. The Supreme Court ruled actually now that the president can replace him at any time. I think this was up for debate, obviously, as it went to the Supreme Court. And secondarily, they came down on some of the shareholders themselves who had filed suit against Fannie and Freddie many, many years ago over their decisions to cancel or I think restrict some of their payouts to shareholders and instead divert a lot of their income and net worth towards the U.S. government. And obviously, that had some activist shareholders up in arms. They filed suit. But the Supreme Court eventually ended up, I think, kicking that down. But the fact that they didn't rule in the shareholders' favor was clearly not a good sign for investors in the shares, and the market reacted accordingly. But just huge developments in that space, even amid the huge upswell in housing demand that we're seeing over the past few months.
Yeah, very interesting story. A big loss for a lot of investors who have been involved with that for a lot of years. Jerry, what do you have for us?
Well, for me, I think the biggest story in the things that I keep an eye on is, again, Doximity. It just went through the roof. I mean, this was almost dot-com type stuff. It opened very high. I looked at it a little bit later. It was up 70%. By the end of the day, heading into the close, it really went nuts, went over 100%. Again, we're not quite into dot-com, pets.com, crazy, stupid stocks going crazy, but we are certainly seeing some big moves. That will undoubtedly spark more IPOs. In a way, it's a good thing for the market because it sops up excess capital flowing into the market. And so it keeps other stocks from getting too high. But it definitely shows we're in a very big bull market, which to me raises a lot of interesting questions. Obviously, we're looking at inflation. We're looking at the Fed. We're looking at the federal government putting in fiscal stimulus with the infrastructure bill that they're talking about. So it really says to me, look, we're in a bull market. Are we getting overheated? Or are we not? I don't know that we're there yet, but we're definitely moving in that direction.
Yep. Great stuff. Great stuff, Jerry. Great stuff to everybody here. That's going to conclude this week's edition of Seeking Alpha Editors Roundtable. Thanks for listening and watching, and we'll see you again next week with a new episode.